Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Doc, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment, our hockey analyst. Another night off in the NHL playoffs. I don't know why they have to wait until Wednesday.
Let's get going. Like, ridiculous. Like, Nashville sweeps, St. Louis in five. Like, let's get that thing rolling.
Edmonton and Anaheim have been off since, what, Friday and Saturday? So what is the holdup?
I don't know. I mean, obviously building availability. Like, there's business stuff they have to take care of. But if not, let's get a move on here. Like, I'd like – that's the problem. Now, all of a sudden, we're June 13th handing out the cup, like mid-June. I'd love to see it at the end of May. And I know I don't want to jam up games that hurt players or the product. But they did that this year. Like, think of that. Think of what the Leafs went through the last week of the season. Like, five games that last week to make it into the playoffs.
I know. It's silly. And
still
the truth is,
me.
the first round in the NHL playoffs, I think, are the best. That's the best hockey. That's the best round.
Right.
But you've got to hold on to that passion as much as you can. You've got to try to keep people engaged. You're going up against the NBA, and it's the opposite with the NBA. The first round is generally brutal.
Right.
Cleveland sweeps, Golden State swept. You know, there's a couple of interesting series right now. Like, Memphis is making San Antonio work for it.
Yeah.
That's at 2-2. Who knows? That could go somewhere. Clearly, the Bucks smacked the Raptors around a little bit. That's at 3-2. Anything technically could happen there.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, the top teams in the NBA, the first round is just a breeze. You don't see upsets. But it gets better as the series go on. Where in the NHL, a lot of times it can be the opposite. And from that standpoint, that's another reason why I would say get after it quickly. Start your second round well before the NBA is even thinking about their second round. So maybe you can take advantage of the heightened importance compared to what else is going on in the American sports scene. Because that's what is always at stake. You're battling it out, right?
I didn't also like the West and East situation.
That makes so dumb.
No sense. Like, both Western series start tomorrow, and then the Eastern series start on Thursday at the same time, essentially.
Who in the hell decided that?
Your boy, I'm assuming.
No, it's not. Who knows? If it's
that's
Gary?
That's asinine, though, to have your own games going up against each other.
Yeah, they've got to be. I mean, at least tomorrow, Nashville, St. Louis, 8 o'clock start. Edmonton, Anaheim, 10:30 start. That'll be wonderful for us in the studio till the end of that one. But, like, Thursday, a 7 o'clock and a 7:30. So you've got to choose a series to watch instead of staggering them.
Right. Well, when in doubt, you stagger, man. You
Absolutely.
Always stagger. Always stagger. Always give people an opportunity to lock in on one game. Finish it, and then flip over. Sure, you're not going to see the whole thing, but give me a chance to see the third and overtime if it's there. I don't want to compete with other games.
No, on the Saturday, Ottawa Rangers go at 3 o'clock and Pitt Wash at 8. So you do have staggered, but it just, I don't know. I don't like the optics of that isn't good. To me, you should have an Eastern and a Western going.
Big time, because then you can't have a 7 p.m. start and
10 or
potentially a 10 or 10:30 start.
Those 10:30 games better not even think about going to overtime.
Oh, they're going to be. You know that.
Don't even think.
It's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but think of how many overtimes there were in the first round.
There was a record 18, I believe. 18 overtimes in the first round. The Leafs and Caps supplied 5 of them.
It's crazy.
I still can't believe they went to 5 overtimes. In 6 games.
Think of the
5 overtimes.
Think of how intense if you actually had an isocam on your action, either at home, on the couch, like, you're not laying on the couch. Are you standing or sitting up?
It was a standing routine. Although the Kapanen one, that's late into the night. That was into the second overtime.
Did you jump out of bed, or is it more of a...
No, I was on the couch. I mean, I got my routine
for
a big
yell?
Game.
Was it a yell?
I don't remember what I did. My wife falls asleep early every single night.
Yeah.
She's asleep on the couch by like 8:30.
Right.
So I'm kind of in, not tone it down routine, but don't be an idiot routine. And the baby's sleeping, you know, that's something you can't live down. It doesn't matter what happens. If you wake that kid up, you are in big trouble.
Oh, I know. Yeah, well, Steph's the same way. She's lazy. She falls asleep on the couch every night.
Right. My wife is out like a light. Even watching her shows, like, that's happened a lot recently. Like, last night we were watching the Raptors game, and I'm like, okay, when this is over, we'll flip on Gotham because Gotham is back and she's big
really?
Into Gotham.
You like that?
I kind of don't mind Gotham. I got to be honest. I wish it could go a little bit further in terms of like R-rated stuff. It's pretty dark though for
it's pretty gritty.
A show on CTV. Like it is, it's a dark show. But we flip it on, and 20 minutes into the show, she's out, and I'm like, well, what are we doing here?
Well,
do we have to
on.
Continue to watch? Can I flip around and go see if something else is on? I mean, the Jays game was kicking off.
That was a late start last night.
God, it was painful again. 2-1. Like, how many times have they lost by one run in a low-scoring game?
Yeah, that's not good.
No, 5-14.
So many guys hitting like that is just redonk.
Well, Russell Martin at the plate has been terrible. He hit a home run last night. He has 2 home runs and 2 RBIs.
Is it possible here?
2 solo
home
runs.
Are they the reverse Maple Leafs? The Maple Leafs, everyone had, for the most part, career seasons this year. Is the Jays situation where everyone's having their worst season so far?
I guess you could say that.
Like, you've got injuries, and then you've got terrible play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two ends of the spectrum.
Well, the starting rotation has been solid for the most part. You know, but with that said, Happ and Sanchez are injured, and when Sanchez was pitching, he was outside of his first start. His second one was a blow-up. But, yeah, I mean, Travis has been brutal. Martin's been brutal. Bautista, Tulowitzki. Yeah, it is. Everyone is just kind of putting up numbers where you're like, really? This is...
Well, that's the core.
You can't possibly win with this kind of stuff.
So if we're talking about the Maple Leafs core having terrible starts like that, I mean, we'd be freaking out on this show.
Well, and that's the thing about baseball, though, is you always have to stop yourself and say, it's April and they have so many more games.
Correct. They've got an opportunity to turn it around.
So many more games. Where at the end of the season, it wouldn't shock me if you sit there and say, how about T stand up with 30 home runs and decent on base, and you know what I mean? Like you got a lot more at bats here to work your way out of a
sort
funk.
Out,
but 5-14 is a mess. There's no way of dancing around that. Sam Mitchell will join us later in the hour. Again, the Raptors won big last night. A very strong defensive game, and I keep changing and turning on a dime with this team after game 3. I'm like, this is really ugly, and Milwaukee's got them. And now you watch the way they played the past 2 games, you start thinking, you know what? They got a shot against Cleveland. Like, if they play defensively strong like that, they might have a shot against Cleveland. But you don't want to put the cart before the horse. They still got to get past Milwaukee. So Sam will join us in about 25 minutes. We've been referencing this throughout the day, that some guy keeps sending us pictures of, like, face swaps and using a face-swapping app. And
beautiful Ray.
And having us as women. And Ray, in the female form, is terrifying.
It came up a little shoddy.
It's swiping left.
He's a haggard librarian.
Here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, have you seen those pictures?
Disturbing, but I would be, this may be true, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I would have, like, the word would be, man, great body, bad helmet.
Great body, face to guard it.
That's right.
Were you not looking at old air and saying, hey, honey, lay off the bonbons? I mean, like, what's going on there?
I think I'm a hot, heavier chick.
O's the one that's got, she's got a great personality.
Yeah, O's got a dress on that is way too small. And you just bank on it. And high heels that are 6 inches high.
Hey, that
just
stuff is so
tight
disturbing.
Jeans.
Hey, that's so disturbing, though. My God.
I know.
I'm the girl at the bar at 2 a.m. just waiting around.
And the lights come on and the boys scatter quickly.
No, no.
They scatter quickly because there is no worse scene on earth. And believe me, the women that are listening to this, we know it goes both ways.
Yeah, believe
when the lights come on and the boys look like
here's girl, me, the girl, though, at 2 a.m., I would strike on a straggler.
You're right. Like, the women that are listening, like when the lights come on, there's 4 critters, four, staring at them.
It's
like,
gone both ways.
A soft 2.
I've been dancing with this guy for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
This guy is the worst looking dude on earth.
Look at the bolt on his forehead.
I know, man. It's a tough scene. If you're fighting the looks and that light comes on, man, you better run for your life. Interesting day here in Toronto. We had Babcock on in the previous hour, and he's hopping, man. He's feeling good about everything. And I'm not surprised, but, you know, we were talking about it prior to having him on. Like, they finished 30th a year ago, and everyone's, like, parading in the street because that's what people wanted. This year, they blow through every expectation, but still barely get in and then lose in the first round. And we said, you know what? I think that whole pain idea, that's over. Like, people are not expecting pain next year. But I found it interesting how Babcock and Lamoriello, you could tell, they were on marching orders to shoot down some expectations. Did you sense the same kind of sentiments coming out of their pressers?
Yeah, but it's hard to really believe them, you know, that, oh, you know, we've got lots of work to do. And the expectations next September are they can do whatever they want, but it's not going to be as effective as when they first came in. Remember when they first came in, they lowered the bar so low that if they just showed up, people were going to be excited about the team. Oh, we were. Remember, it's hard to believe it was just last year we were saying, "Oh man, this is, you know, they're working really hard," and we're like, "Well, wait a minute, shouldn't that shouldn't even be on the bar? Like that should just be the way it is." And so now it can't even be that anymore. They can't lower it. And what are they going to say? Gee, we hope to compete for a playoff spot? Well, of course they do. You were just in it. Like they're going to have to work hard to try and keep a lid on what I think is going to probably be runaway expectations for them.
Well, and what's also going to happen is, and it's already happening, I was reading on Pro Hockey Talk, I think, this morning, connecting the dots between what the Leafs are going through right now and what Pittsburgh went through early in Crosby's career and what Chicago went through early in the Taves and Kane era, where they went from Chicago went from missing the playoffs to getting to a conference final to winning the Stanley Cup. Pittsburgh went from missing the playoffs to, I believe, losing the first round to losing in the Cup final to Detroit and then beating them the next year. Like, that's how quickly it happened for that young core in Pittsburgh and Chicago. And I know it's going to happen. Leaf fans are going to sit here and say, okay, well, we feel like we got a pretty similar situation to what Chicago and Pittsburgh had.
And they're probably not far wrong.
Right.
I mean, the one, you know, when teams get compared to others, the one dynamic that sometimes gets lost is in the mix of the players is there's superstars on both teams, right? Like Pittsburgh's got Crosby, they got Malkin, they had Letang, they had Fleury, and then the Blackhawks had all the guys that they had. Well, the Leafs are sitting there with Austin Matthews, and who can't imagine him competing for a most valuable player in the league in a couple of years? Why not? Why couldn't he do that? They have six rookies that play 70 games. Is it wrong to expect that they're going to get better? Maybe some growing pains next year that they didn't really have this year, but maybe they have them in year two. And then you've got, you know, like, is their defense going to get better? Or they've got a good goalie. Like, I could easily see why people would make that comparison. It kind of makes perfect sense, really, that if you're going to draw the comparison to a team, you'd want to have a comparison to somebody that you think that you match up properly with in the roster side of it, because lots of, you know, like, it's, I don't know if I'm making any sense you got to have a star to be good. You got to have a star to win. They've got that. You've got to have young people to fill in around the star. They've got that. They've got a good goalie. Why can't they be that? But then it's going to be next September, and what if they start 3-9 or 3-7 or something like that? That's possible too.
Ray, don't you think they have a kind of quiet confidence? They never give the media anything, but do you not think Babs is just, you know, get me a goaltender, we can start? Do you not think this summer, like, you get me a couple D-men, I shore this thing up, we can definitely make a run next year? I'm not saying they're contenders, but give me a couple D-men and let's see what we got.
Oh, I think the way they view themselves compared to the way they tell us that they view themselves are two different things. You know, like there was nobody that believed that Toronto could be in that series. You know, before it started, I think Babcock felt they could. You know, like they look at their team and he knows what he can do with the team and he knows what those players probably are capable of at this stage of their career, and he's probably thinking, well, we can get in there and we can tip the apple cart over and we can make it uncomfortable. And they did. So I'm with you. I don't think for a second that they're scared of next year, that they're worried that they're going to take a back step. I believe they look at their team and they think really good about it. And then the trick's going to be, how do you make it better? What does it cost to make it better, whether it's in a trade or, well, most likely in a trade? Like, what's the cost going out to bring something in? And then really you have to, as I said yesterday, you have to consider whether those 6 second-year guys are going to take a step forward, or are they going to go sideways for a year, or, you know, or it's 2 going to get better and 4 get worse. I mean, that's really the question mark for me.
Well, I think a lot will be told through how they handle guys like Bozak, JVR, and Komarov in particular. 3 veterans that played a lot of minutes and played big roles who are going into their final years of their contracts. And it's not easy to make moves in the NHL, but those contracts are movable. Komarov's at just under $3 million. JVR's at 4.25. I think Bozak's at 4.2. Those are guys that can help teams. And it wouldn't surprise me if teams floated out the idea of acquiring some of them for picks and prospects. And a year ago, I think the Leafs would say, yeah, we'll do it. We'll absolutely do it because this is the process and it's about growing. I'm not convinced they're going to do that anymore. I think they feel like they should keep those guys unless something comes along that just makes so much sense for the here and now and the future. But it wouldn't shock me at all if they let those contracts play out because they feel like they can play a big role in going deep next year.
If they're going to move those players, the one that's, I would say, most likely to stay out of those 3 by a long way would be Komarov. I think Babcock just loves having him in the lineup and what he brings to their lineup. Now, if just think of how this one move could impact a bunch of stuff. What if they decide to move Nylander to the middle? So that means you need another winger to play with Matthews, or a winger to play with Matthews. That means you probably can move Bozak. Like, that changes a lot in your top 9 forwards with one move.
I don't like that move, though, at all. I think he's a perfect fit on the wing for Matthews.
I'm not going to disagree, but we did hear this year that, you know, they view him as a centerman long term.
No.
Well, they do. I'm not making it up.
Yeah, Babcock has said that before.
Nope.
You know, I mean,
wrong.
That's not, whether it's right or wrong, it's not me saying it, it's him. So if they're deciding to put him in the middle of the ice, then that might change what you think of the possibility of Bozak and or Van Riemsdyk coming back as well. Like, there's a really, really interesting set of moves that could be set off this summer here. And I don't think it's going to be widespread, but it might be one move that impacts a couple of different players. Do you think Kapanen deserves the opportunity for more minutes, given the way that he played? Does Brandon Leipzig have a chance to make the team next year? What about Dermott, the defenseman who Sheldon Keefe says has been outstanding this year? Like, are all those guys going to push for spots? And if you are, where are they going to fit, and who's going to move? I think it's got a chance to be a really fascinating summer in Toronto.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Some big news out in your neck of the woods. Travis Green is going to be the new and the next head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, and it's big for him because he's still coming up, right? He doesn't have any NHL experience behind the bench. And I think if you're in that position, there's only 30 gigs or 31 now. You get in the league, you do your thing.
That's like I told all my buddies, Brian, when they were getting head coaching jobs. I'm like, they would say the team, and I'm like, do you really want to start your coaching career off like that?
Well,
because you get black, like you get listed, man.
That's the fear. I would think from his standpoint, I don't know this, Ray, but I don't think any tenured coaches would be taking that gig.
No.
Like a Daryl Sutter or Hitchcock, I just don't see it.
I think about that team. When are they going to be good?
It could be a while.
I don't think any tenured coaches were considered for the job either.
True.
Yeah,
sure.
I kept hearing Dave Lowry and Travis Green as the head or the front runners.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think this is you have to think of it this way, though. You know, you brought up the 30 jobs. Everybody in the league, every coach at one time was a first-year coach. Somebody had to believe in them at one time or another. Somebody had to take a job they weren't quite sure about at one time or another, because that was their way into the club. That was the way that they were going to get into the NHL. And, you know, Travis has been in this organization for a few years, and has got quite a good reputation. He's I know Travis. Jamie knows him well. He's a pretty interesting story because, and I think this is going to help him. He was a big scorer in junior. He was a second round pick. He got to the Islanders and he had to learn to check because there was no real room for him at that time as in a top two offensive role. And so when we went to the semifinals in 93, Greeny was going nose to nose with Mario Lemieux. So he went from a high scorer to a guy that had to check. He went from a top six guy to a bottom six guy. He was a lazy guy, and then he learned to work. And so I think that gives – and then he ended up having a real workman-like, I think, 15-year career. So that's going to give him the vision of what top-end guys look like and what bottom-end guys look like. He has worked with this organization and knows what they have. There's no surprises for him. He knows exactly what's here, and he knows the warts on it, and he knows what's possible. Now, I think it's a long road back in Vancouver, but I'm not surprised at all that they hired a coach that that has less experience than Moore. I'm not surprised that they went to somebody like this as opposed to any of the older names that you might think about.
Well, again, we circle back to Toronto a lot, and this may have just been a once-in-a-lifetime situation, but the Leafs sold Babcock and coming here and being brutal for a year and then turning it around. And
They also sold him with one other thing.
A lot of money.
Yeah,
a lot of money.
$50 million.
Yeah.
And that wasn't going to happen here either.
Well, but there you go. That's I guess, what I'm saying. Like, okay, you didn't try to get the older guys, but is that or the tenured guys, but is that because you knew they were going to tell you to take a lap? You know, like,
yeah.
Or did you really want Ken Hitchcock as your coach?
Well, I hear you. I mean, I hope it works for him.
For whatever you want to say about Hitch, good coach, bad coach, and you know, the general consensus is, of course, a good coach. I think they've lost 10 times since he got fired.
St. Louis has looked pretty good without him.
You know, so my point being is that there's lots of ways to look at hiring a coach. I think they were predisposed to someone that they knew better. I hope that they talked to a lot of people. I would never hire anybody unless I talked to multiple people first. I mean, why would you? Why wouldn't you compare different voices and different ways that people might think that you can make your team better? Because if you just talk to one guy, to me, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Did you guys see how Erik Karlsson revealed the injury he has?
Yeah, I thought that was really...
I liked it. But now people are like, well, why would you do that? Why would you out yourself?
Yeah, but okay, so I'll ask Ray and I'll ask O, too. You play against Erik Karlsson, you slashing that foot?
All day long.
But didn't you know that anyway? Didn't you know what the problem was?
Like, I get it.
Well, you might not have known the bone was broken, but everybody saw the clip where he went backwards into the boards and got hurt.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't shock me if somebody, like, you're going to see slashes to his foot all day.
So you wouldn't have decided to go that route?
No. I respect his honesty. I love Erik Karlsson. I do. I just thought that was weird because you see players come out with their injury status after the playoffs, not after the first round.
here's the other thing. He said he did it blocking a shot in Philadelphia. I want to say that was the last week of March.
Yeah, I called that game.
Right, so last week of March, somewhere in there, Noodles?
Yep.
Almost a month ago. So the fractures are probably healed.
Yeah, but there was two of them, and then you wonder if he re-injured when he was crashed into the boards that night.
Well, I don't know. If he has a broken foot, I wish I could have skated like that.
No kidding. Well, that's another
because
thing. Go catch
God,
him.
He was like dust, dropping sand behind him, and the Bruins were stuck in the quicksand behind, like... I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't have said anything. I don't think it's going to impact it. Of course, they're going to try and whack away at his feet. I would, for sure. But I think they're probably, weren't you walking away at his feet before? You should have been if you weren't.
Well, that's my point. And go ahead, try to catch him. And if you want to set off red flags for the refs to be looking for something, I'm sure he'll take the power plays all series as well. And I kind of liked how it was different. And his explanation was he didn't want to keep lying to people anymore. He didn't want it to be a secret. Like, he's just a different character altogether.
I respect him a ton. Ray, you deal with him a lot too, right?
I think he's awesome. Yeah. His interviews are honest, and he's got he gets that the whole thing's a little bit goofy, you know, like doing the interviews and all that. Sometimes he's like, I'll give a goofy answer here. He's always bugging Brent Wallace, and needling Wallace, and that's just the way he is. And I think there's a personality there that I wish was even more exposed than what we see, because he's a brilliant player, and he's got a lot of ways to look at things that are pretty funny.
All right, buddy. When are you off to Paris?
Next Tuesday.
Okay. So we got you for a while.
Yeah. I'm hoping I don't see any more pictures from you guys that looked at all like this last one you sent.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's not going to stop.
You're a nickel as a chick.
I'm going to do more crunches so that my abs will look good, and then I'm going to do squats so my ass will be tight because I don't have the good helmet.
Dude, you better be rich as hell too with that chick face of yours. You're hideous.
Hey, listen, Butterball.
I want to see O's body on that face so badly.
Dude, bet you I was just luscious.
I need to see your gear. Yeah. I'll bet you it's the best gear on earth.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
you have got Owen a halter top.
Oh yeah.
I think I am one of the hotter, fatter women on earth.
You might be right.
I'm the hottest fat chick on earth.
These pictures are spectacular.
They are funny.
Oh, and you know, now you've just told the guy keep sending them.
Oh, I know.
So they're coming.
Yeah. Well, he's got Mackenzie coming in, and I'm sure Bob will love that.
You've got to see Bobby Mack. He looks like Mrs. Doubtfire.
He does.
We'll see what he has to say about that a little bit later on. We'll
remember when old Doubtfire was all confused at dinner and he comes back as the wrong person? He's just disheveled.
That is an underrated movie.
Yeah, it really was.
It's a great flick. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, boys. Have a good one. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, hockey analyst. Off to the Worlds next Tuesday. And Austin Matthews won't be going. Freddie Anderson won't be going.
I like that. Personally, I do. I've told you this before. Top players, they've played a lot of hockey. Austin Matthews played a lot of hockey. World Cup.
Really would be interesting, though, if he was Canadian, what we'd be thinking about it, what the backlash would be.
If McDavid lost out in the first round?
Here's what I'll also say to add to that. If they were going to the Olympics next year, would he feel obligated to show up to the Worlds? If USA Hockey said, hey, if you don't want to show commitment now, we're not sure we can show commitment to you for the Olympics, I'll bet you he'd go.
It would, but that would be ridiculous of them to dangle that.
Wouldn't be the first time, though. You know they've thrown that out. Show us if you're committed. That's why guys, they go all the time.
Corey Perry is coming up on 30. He goes.
Right.
I mean, that guy loves hockey. But it's just, I don't know. This guy's getting paid to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And
that's
all
I care about.
The last 12 months, he was at last year's World Hockey Championships, World Cup, All-Star Game, 82 games in
the
regular
body
season.
Heal.
Yeah, go shut it down for a while. I'm with you. Same thing with Freddie Anderson. All right, Sam Mitchell will join us. We'll look back on Game 5, tee up Game 6 with him. And if the Raps play the way that they have the past two games, is he confident they can take down Cleveland? We'll get to that and more coming up. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Sam Mitchell coming up here in a moment. Jays are in St. Louis tonight. Russell Martin is going to play third base. First time playing third base since, I believe, May of 2013. Desperate times in Toronto.
You got to find a spark. At least Gibby's trying.
I'll give him credit. The problem is Martin's not hitting, so it's not like you're sitting there saying, wow, we need his bat in the lineup. He hit a home run last night, but you need more out of him. Maybe he feels like he's getting hot, and you'll take him over Coughlin or Goins or Barney or whoever is going to be filling that hole. But
right.
Yeah, you're right. It's creative. It's different. Mm-hmm. And maybe it works for them. The Jays, they clearly can't just sit here and be stagnant and say, let's just keep rolling out the same lineup every day.
No, I agree.
You got to change something up, and this is a significant change. We'll see if Martin, you know, as a catcher, he's not – I don't see this guy running all over the diamond, and they get caught in a shift tonight, and he's got to chase something down. Like,
yeah,
you know, third base, though, for the most part, you can kind of stand pat and wait for something to come your way.
Keep scrolling down on that and get a look at Gino Retta.
Yeah, that one is...
This guy keeps sending in face swap pictures.
Yeah. Now it's the Sam Mitchell, Rod Black, Jack Armstrong, and with a Gino Retta.
Rod Black just looks like the horny old lady. Doesn't he?
The face swap.
He's Blanche from the Golden Girls.
He does kind of look like Blanche.
Boy, Gino's had a rough one.
Man, Blanche, what was her story?
She was fired up at all times.
That show used to be pretty good.
You got into Golden Girls?
Yep, absolutely.
All day long.
Really, both of you?
Loved it.
Yep. Sophia, the old lady, she was hilarious. And she was the youngest out of all of them. It was makeup, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Estelle Getty.
Getty, I think.
Yeah. But Blanche, she was a weathered veteran.
Man, if she was around during the Tinder era...
I mean, Betty White, B. Arthur, that was a pretty cool show.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Plays on the reruns. I got into a Seinfeld that fell down a rabbit hole the other night again.
Seinfeld's a different story. It's more modern than Golden Girls.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, how popular was Golden Girls at its height? It would have been a big show, I guess, right?
I think it was pretty popular.
Like, was that the primetime era of the sitcom, like mid to late 80s? Cheers would have been kicking around.
Cheers.
Golden Girls.
Like, even Will and Grace.
That was in the 90s,
that's
late
90s. Everyone Loves Raymond, all those shows. They're a classic, but you're right. I've seen pretty much every Golden Girls as possible.
Really?
Yeah.
But I don't know why that surprises me.
I watch a lot of TV.
I just don't know if,
TV all the time.
Like, what's the demographic that they would have been going for? Probably women, wouldn't you think? I mean, not that men can't watch or wouldn't watch. Of course they would.
I think it was just, I don't know why.
Well-written.
It was in the right time slot where you're just either passing out and... watching TV before you fall asleep. It's always on.
Look at you. Were you a Cheers guy?
Oh, always.
All day, huh?
All Sammy Malone, that guy. Old school.
Well, apparently Woody Harrelson.
Eddie LeBeck. Remember Carla's husband was the goalie for the Bruins?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's before your time. That's why.
Yeah, and I've seen a number of those episodes. Like Normie and Cliff. Like, those are two guys
pretty
that
much
I can relate
our show.
To.
That's...
Cheers
is Overdrive
in a bar
30 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently, like Woody Harrelson, you talk about a guy with a Jeter type rotation in Hollywood. Like, when he was on Cheers, he was just running
the
show.
Really?
Running the show in Hollywood.
And
he played
such a dummy on that show. Like, he was the
goofy
comedic
kid.
Yeah, comedic relief.
But he was great in that show. Like, he became the biggest star, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Of everyone on that show? Who became the biggest star?
Yeah, I would say, I mean,
Woody.
Yeah, he's bigger than Ted Danson or Kirstie Alley.
Shelley Long.
Yeah, but she went movies and then kind of disappeared.
Well, Kramer. What's his name?
Oh.
Not Kramer. Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about, what's his name?
Kelsey Grammer. Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer.
Grammer, that's it.
Well, his show was very popular, but too highbrow for me. I couldn't get
I
into
that
show.
Show.
You got
loved
into that
it.
Show?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't find it funny. I thought it was, I don't know. It was, but it won Emmys year after year. It always beat
brilliant.
Seinfeld.
Brian, that's a talk show. And Niles' brother, I thought that show was brilliant.
The old man with the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I could get back into that.
That's a great show.
All right. We're tracking down Sam Mitchell. He may be in shock because he was included in one of these face swapping pictures.
If he saw that, he'd just flush his Steph's call.
Yeah, he might be like, that's enough. Frazier, that's what it is.
Yeah, Frazier.
That was what it was
what
called.
What did I say? Kramer?
Kramer,
yeah.
Probably yeah, Frazier.
Frazier.
A rare spinoff that actually was really successful.
And it worked well.
Big time. So, yeah, the Raps up 3-2. They played really well last night. Norman Powell, a lot of people are buzzing about his play. And I got to give credit to Dwayne Casey because he had to make adjustments after Game 3, and he has. Like,
right.
Norman Powell is a big part of that, playing big minutes. DeLon Wright getting minutes that I wasn't necessarily expecting. And... He's relying on that defensive five late in the fourth quarter, probably led by P.J. Tucker in a lot of ways, that has worked. And after Game 3, there was a lot of panic. Like, it had that feel of what Capitals fans were thinking after Game 3, only more extreme because the Caps lost in overtime two games in a row. The Raptors, they got smoked in Game 3. Smoked. But they've turned it around drastically over the past two games. So full credit to them and Casey.
And it got a little gritty, too. Was it Valanciunas was...
Well, and Monroe pushed his own guy.
I know, his own player. That was weird.
He punks his own player. And Valanciunas had a great answer on that afterwards. He was asked, like, what was it like? He's like, I don't know. Monroe was worried more worried about his own teammate than he was me.
Yeah.
I was just kind of standing there, and all of a sudden he's causing problems with his own teammates.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird.
But Valanciunas, I think he's kind of lippy out there. Like, he's a big guy that when he gets after it, you know, he can...
I love how he can go spurts without doing anything, and then one basket, and it's the fist pumps, flexing the muscles.
Right into it. Because he's had an up-and-down series himself. Like
He did get hard fouled the one time, and I thought it was... I mean, he got a pretty good smack in the face as he went up, and he was calling for the foul, and nothing.
Playoff basketball. The thing is, though, about officiating, like, they call double technicals on that Monroe and Valanciunas situation, which was A, a waste of time, but B, shouldn't have happened. It was Valanciunas, I didn't think, he didn't do anything wrong. Like, on the other end of the court, Monroe didn't like the fact that he kind of flipped him, but Monroe dropped on him. Right. They're battling for a rebound. What's Valanciunas supposed to do? And you can't get it's tough to get a read on playoff basketball. It's the same thing in the NHL. Like, when are they going to call it old school playoff? Right. Like, we're putting the whistles away, it's going to get physical, and when are they going to stick to the new school rules where everyone's going to the foul line and nothing's allowed in terms of physicality? I think it's really frustrating and difficult to get a read on that if you're players. And that applies with every sport. You know, strike zone changing during the game, it drives people nuts.
How about Jack last night saying, get in your seats and sit down and cheer? Then I talked to a guy this morning who went to the game, and he goes, it was awesome. I went into the Platinum Lounge and I drank, and there was drinks waiting for me. And I'm thinking, that's the contrast. That guy was loving it, and then when you see the optics of it, it looks garbage.
Yeah.
It feels garbage.
Well, there has been a lot of talk about that. Like, media guys who were in the building half an hour before tip-off saying, it's dead in here. Like, why is it not filling up for a playoff game, a game of significance like this? Fans... But that crowd has been great.
But they're
years.
Not a fickle crowd.
No, they're not.
They are supportive.
The Raptors fan base and that building for Raptors games in general, let alone playoff games, is closer to TFC-type atmospheres than it is Leaf games on a Monday night in October.
Right.
Like, it's pretty wild. Okay, would it be ideal if everyone's in their seat for the whole game going nuts? Of course. But is that realistic? No. No, it's not. You know, and Jack gets fired up, and Jack wants the team to feed off it. And some people are talking about Milwaukee's crowd. And I was surprised. I think it was Damari Carroll that said today, one of the players said today, they were caught off guard by the crowd in Milwaukee, and maybe that affected them. And I was surprised to hear a veteran team admit that a road crowd affected their game.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably a nugget you shouldn't be throwing out there, because you can bank on that crowd in Milwaukee going bananas for Game 6.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're admitting that it kind of threw you off a little bit, maybe you shouldn't be going down that road. But Jack also kind of took a shot at Leaf fans and said, this isn't a Leaf game.
And that one was kind of...
Love Jack, but it's probably not necessary.
It's not necessary, but he made sense if he's talking about a Monday night versus Carolina. Not what we've seen here down the stretch and into the playoffs. Like, that building the other night, I was in the building. I've been in some playoff buildings, and that was as exciting as I've seen. It was really neat, and I was happy for a lot of people, because that's what it should be. That's the support. I mean, we did our hits from the square. I don't even know how many people. Would there be 5,000 or 3,000?
I'm not sure how many would have gotten in that square. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a big
over 1,000.
Like, jammed up there, pretty good.
Yeah,
maybe you're right. I maybe.
But there's also people on the other side of it that didn't get in, because it was first come first serve, I believe. And
either way, it was jammed up, and the fans were pretty jacked up. There was that electricity. We got there around, what, 3 o'clock, 3:30, because we had to watch the Ottawa game from on set.
Mm-hmm.
The lineup was around the building just to get in.
Well, I said that yesterday. I've never been in the building that early. Now, there was a reason. We didn't go just to be Joe
right.
Fan and sit there. We were meeting people, and we had to meet them inside. So we got in when the doors opened. I didn't even realize the doors open at 6. I had no idea. I've never been down to a game that early. But at 6 o'clock, I'm in there. I'm like, it's rocking in here.
Yeah.
Like, people are really fired up for this game. And by that point, Maple Leaf Square was already packed.
Yeah, it was loaded.
It was as packed as you could get, and you guys were out there doing your hits. And
yeah.
Listen, what has become clear in this city is every team, there is carryover of fans. There are a lot of Toronto sports fans that love the Leafs, Raps, Jays, TFC, and want them all to do well and support them all.
Right.
But every crowd is a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Every fan base is a bit different. And the Raptors are different than the Leafs. The Leafs are different than the Jays. The Jays are different than TFC.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great sports town, but no sporting event is ever the same. It just isn't. And I can't imagine that's exclusive to Toronto. I would think the same thing would apply in New York, in Chicago, in L.A.
Yep.
Every sport has a different history. Every sport has a different fan base and different demographic. And listen, it's a pretty good time in Toronto. I think Toronto sports fans, they got beaten down for a long time because the teams were so bad.
Yeah,
teams have been quality,
case.
And fans are there. The fans have always been there.
Yeah.
I've never doubted the passion of fans in Toronto.
Now they're getting rewarded. That's what it is.
And they deserve it big time.
Yep.
Right? Bob McKenzie will join us. We're trying to track down Sam. We're going to recap our conversation with Mike Babcock as well. He joined us earlier in the afternoon. Had a pretty good conversation with him. He was in good spirits.
He should be.
Replay that, baby.
Yeah, I think we might just do that. We rarely do that, but
yeah,
for a big
don't.
Interview like that, we
We're
might go down that road.
We're going to start doing a lot more of that type of stuff.
We'll see what happens. We'll get back into the Jays tonight. Again, Russell Martin starting at third base. A lot of people tweeting in about how desperate this looks. I don't care how it looks. If it works, take it.
Right.
Right? Like, they're in trouble. Donaldson's hurt. The left side of the infield is on the DL. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not like, again, Martin is mashing right now, but it's a different look. It's a different option. We'll see how it plays out. Don't forget, we're giving away a Marley's prize pack, a pair of tickets to Game 3 tomorrow night, 2 playoff T-shirts, and 2 Marley's hats. So we'll do that at some point this afternoon as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Don't forget, O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament, September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. Visit the website tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. I referenced the Marley's giveaway.
Yes.
Why don't we get to that now? There was a Maple Leaf. I played the final few games in the regular season and all 6 in the playoffs that just got sent down today to be a part of the playoff run with the Marlies. Who was that Maple Leaf / Marley? First one in at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in with that answer picks up the Marlies prize pack, including a pair of tickets to Game 3 tomorrow night, a couple of playoff T-shirts, a couple of Marlies hats. Leaf fans are going to kind of transfer their focus now. Let's see what's going on down there.
Well, right? Especially if there's some good young players coming up. I always say go check out a Marley's game. It's a lot less expensive. You have more access to the players. And these are the guys that are have
a
good
chance. We had
a blast
there in a box a couple years ago.
It was great.
We did.
We should try to
We're
make that happen
circle
again.
Back, I think.
Yeah. That was outstanding. They do good work down there at the Rico.
They really do, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good crowd. It's an electric vibe. It feels closer to junior, kind of in a way, in terms of the atmosphere in there.
Correct.
Like you said, the tickets aren't overpriced. They're priced appropriately so people can get in there and have a good time. And, you know, we keep focusing on free agents and trades, but it wouldn't shock me if they've got their eye on a Marley or two who they might hope can play onto a team next year.
We're going to have Bobby Mack in, right? We've got to ask him because he was talking about some of the up-and-coming Leafs and what they may do in-house, like guys like Travis Dermott and
mm-hmm.
Players
Andrew
like
Nielsen.
That. Yeah, there's some players. Lepsic.
Yep.
So there is some players. And it'd be interesting to see if they can push out either veteran players or plug those holes internally, and then that helps with the flexibility.
Our main man, Freddie the Goat, down there.
Yep, the Goat.
The Goat's going to hope to play his way onto the team.
Well, Brian, I agree. Like, I think if Brian Boyle, you don't re-sign him, and that's the goat spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it.
Asking a lot out of the goat, but we believe in him.
He needs experience, and so you give it to him at the NHL level next year.
All right, so we'll recap our conversation with Mike Babcock.
Replay.
Replay, recap, and Bob will join us in studio. And, again, teeing up the Raptors game coming up, game six in Milwaukee, and Russell Martin playing at third base tonight for the desperate Blue Jays.
So no Sammy?
I don't know where Sam is. Sam's MIA. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.